was the Sabbath Jesus' enemies. Be careful of that word, the enemies, watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. Then he turned to the critics. Of the pandemic began to go down. In July, the rates came back up. So we've been up and down, up and down, up and down. And in all of that, we had police brutality, social injustice, and oh my God, this election. It has been a rough year. It has been a rough year. And it came down to this election where people were using the pandemic, people's lives, to push an agenda. Using people's lives to push an agenda because of their hearts. The beginning of restoration. The beginning of restoration. And in the Bible, we see that restoration begins with the hearts of the people. But in Mark chapter 3, we're looking at the Pharisees. The Pharisees. And the Pharisees were the type of people that they looked at everything through a microscope. They could see everything through a microscope, but they never could see it through the mirror. And many of us today have been looking at life through a microscope. I see some of the posts. I see some of the tweets. I see some of the DMs that we've been looking at life through a microscope. We're so quick to point out what everybody else is doing wrong, but we can't point out what we are doing wrong within ourselves. That Pharisee spirit, they were looking at everything through a microscope. And the thing is that's where I want to be right now, that the Pharisees were really good at pointing out everyone else's issues. They couldn't see anything that they were doing because their hearts were so hard. We read it in the text. It said that Jesus was upset and saddened because their hearts were hardened. But can I just break this thing down real quick with what the Pharisees' biggest issue was with Jesus? First, the Pharisees were jealous of Jesus. They were jealous of Jesus because Jesus was effective. How many of you know that when you are effective in your life, the haters gonna come? How many of you know that when you are making what we call boss moves, the haters gonna show up? How many of you know that when you are effective in what you are doing and you are allowing God to use you, the haters will come? The jealous people will come. The people that used to be your friends on Facebook turn into your foes on Facebook. And then you start to see all of the messages bashing you because you have become effective. But I stop by to tell you that if God started it in you, he will see it through to its completion. He'll see it through to its completion. The only way you won't have haters, family, the only way that you will not have haters, if you're not doing anything. If you don't have any haters right now, be careful. If you don't have anybody hating on you right now, be careful, because that means you're not doing anything. Everybody don't have friends everywhere. Excuse my grammar. Everybody ain't got friends. Amen. There are some haters, but if you aren't effective in what you are doing, be careful, be careful. But not only were the Pharisees jealous of Jesus, they have problems with the claims of Jesus. They are saying that you claim to be the Son of God, Elder Lakin, but we know where you're from. They're saying you're from this little town, but you claim to be the Son of God. Can I move antiquity to modernity real quick? Come here, Kamala, for a minute. You said that you are the vice president-elect, but you are from Oakland, California. You said that you are the vice president-elect, but you graduated from a HBCU, a historically black college and university, where people think that if you have a HBCU education, you're still limited in what you are doing. But can I stop by to tell you today that it don't matter where you come from, that when God has created a work in you, he will see it through to completion. Come here, Kamala. They said you graduated from Howard University. All the Bison stand up. I went to South Carolina State. It was short. I made it one semester. One whole semester, Stephanie. But I went to HBCU. And I got an ID to prove it. Anyway. So, not only were they jealous of Jesus, and they had issues with Jesus' claim, the Pharisees, the biggest issue they had with Jesus is that he would heal on the Sabbath. They could not figure out why Jesus was always doing stuff on the Sabbath. That's what got Jesus into the cross. He was working on the Sabbath. And study shows us that there are only 7 documented miracles by Jesus on the Sabbath. Only seven. But the Pharisees could not figure out why Jesus kept doing stuff on the Sabbath. So they took the Sabbath seriously. The Pharisees didn't play when it came to the Sabbath, because God rested on the Sabbath. We saw it in Genesis. In the first 6 days, he created the heavens and earth and everything that was in it. And it says on the seventh day, he rested. But see, the Bible tells us that God rested on the Sabbath, but he didn't give us details as to what we need to do on the Sabbath. And because God didn't give us the details, the Pharisees took it upon themselves to make up all these rules and restrictions for what we can and cannot do on the Sabbath. That when people don't give you the details and the plans that they have for you, people will take it upon themselves to make up the rules and how you should operate in your life. So the Pharisees, they took it upon themselves to add extra rules. They had crazy rules like you couldn't throw one thing up with one hand and catch it with the other. You had to take 1,999 steps, and you had to stop when right then before the 2,000th step. Women, you couldn't wash your hair on the Sabbath, because if the water hit the ground, you'd have to work to get it up. You couldn't look in a mirror, because if you saw all of these grays, you'd be tempted to pull them out. So they had crazy rules for the Sabbath. But the biggest thing and their biggest rule was, Elder Lakin, that you could not heal on the Sabbath. And that's why they took issue with Jesus. That Jesus was saying, so you're telling me that I can't heal on the Sabbath. Come here, Dr. Luke. Luke 13 tells us that Jesus heals the woman that had been crippled for 18 years. In the Bible, it tells that she was a hunchback. This lady was 18 years walking, bent over. And the Bible tells us that Jesus touched this lady, and immediately she was made whole. And then Jesus calls out his hypocrite, citing that don't you take your oxen and your donkeys for water on the Sabbath. And the Bible tells us that they said nothing. All the while the people were rejoicing with this lady, the hypocrites said nothing. Interesting. But come here, Luke. Luke 14 tells us that Jesus heals the man with what they called him, in the Bible times, he had this infirmity called the dropsies. Modern-day edema is what they call it, to fluids start to move throughout the extremities of your body and you can't walk because there's so much fluid and there's so much swelling in your body, you can't move. But the Bible tells us that here Jesus was eating with the Pharisees, and then he asked the Pharisees, is it unlawful to heal on the Sabbath? And they said nothing. The word always uses the word. So he took back to the word and he asked the disciples. He said, he asked them, if their donkeys or cows fell into a pit, he says, would you not pull it out on the Sabbath? But they took issue with Jesus' healing because it was the Sabbath. John chapter 9 tells us that there was a man who was blind from birth. One thing to note, that this was the only miracle that the individual had the infirmity from birth. So when this man was blind from birth, the disciples, with their smart selves, asked Jesus the question, who sinned, mama or daddy? Who sinned, mama or daddy? And in that time, they felt that if you were born with a disease, that somebody sinned, or you could sin while you were in your mother's womb. So the disciples unknowingly asked Jesus, who sinned, mama or daddy? And Jesus tells the disciples, no one sinned, but the man was made so that God's works could be displayed through him. And that's where some of you are right now, that you're going through some situations in your life, that you're going through some trials in your life, and people are trying to figure out what sin you committed, and all the while God is trying to create a work through you. He says, I know you're down right now. I know you may have lost your job right now. I know somebody may be sick. I know you're struggling in your relationship, but it's not because of your sin. Sin, I want you to know that watch what I do through you. Watch what I do through you. But on the flip side, your sins do get you in some situations. You'll say, can I be transparent for a moment? 5 kids. 4 different women. Blessing and the child support. Praise Jesus. But your sins will have you in some situations. Oh, you think you're big and bad enough to do certain things. You have to deal with the repercussions of your actions. Amen? That blessing will come back. Oh, my God. I need another job. Anyway, back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. So the disciples asked him, who sinned? Who sinned? And Jesus said that no one sinned. He said that this man was made this way so the works of God could be displayed through him. I told you it wasn't going to be long. I'm about to wrap this thing up, but the Pharisees literally began to start stalking Jesus. We can see in Mark chapter 2, right above, I remember, right around Mark 2, 23, right around in that area, we'll see that Jesus and the disciples are walking through the grain fields, the stalks of grain. The Pharisees literally stalked Jesus because the Bible tells you that they were in the grain fields. And as soon as the disciples took the heads of the grain and began to eat, they jumped out. Surprise, Jesus. Surprise. Why are your men eating on the Sabbath? The word always uses the word. He said, did you not remember, did you not read that when David was walking and he and his men were hungry, that they went into the temple and they took the showbread? And he gave it to his companions so that they could eat. 1 Samuel 21, I believe, is right around in that area. Fact check me. 1 Samuel 21. That David and his guys were walking and he took the showbread and Jesus brought this thing on home. He said that the Sabbath was meant to meet the needs of the men, not the men of the Sabbath. And Jesus then says that I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Can we bring this thing home real quick? That I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Where does restoration begin? Restoration is mentioned some 136 times in the Bible. But where does restoration begin? We see it in Mark chapter 3. Here in Mark chapter 3, the Bible tells us that Jesus went to the synagogue again. And he noticed the man with the deformed hand. We'll call him D for short. D with the deformed hand. And I can see this man, if I could paint the picture real quick before I take my seat. I can see this man coming in the back of Brooklyn, and he's standing in the back of the church, and he's standing in the back of the room because he had an issue. Too oftentimes, that's the things that we do. We have issues, and we try to hide them. We have issues and we don't bring them before the Lord. We have issues and we sit in the back of the building and we sit in the back of these places and we hide the issues that we have, when all the while God is saying, bring this thing to me. And so D was sitting, D, the man with the four hands, stay with me. He was sitting in the back of the room. And then it says that his enemies, the Pharisees, were watching him closely. And they wanted to see if Jesus was going to heal this man with the deformed hand, and watch what Jesus does. Jesus looks out to the back of the room and he says, come here. Come here, D. D with the deformed hand. Come here, D. And then he looks at the disciples while D is standing in front of him. The Bible doesn't give him a name, because you know what happens, that the Bible names the people. And we see in the Bible that your name is based off of your infirmity. They called him, simply called him, the man with the deformed hand, the man with the withered hand. And that's what society does today. If I could bring this thing a little closer to home, all these people that were killed by police and all this police brutality, what did society do? What was the first thing society done? They pulled up their records, their old charges. And that's what the enemy does, that when you're trying to step out of one situation and you're trying to step into something new, the enemy always tries to remind you of where you came from in your old situations. And they begin to pull up the old charges, and then they begin to name you. Oh, you remember him. He used to be the alcoholic. They forgot your name. Oh, that was the weed smoker. Oh, that was the one that laid with everybody. Oh, that's the one with the four baby daddies. They forget your name. And this is what happens in the Bible. They call D the man with the deformed hand, but Jesus is stopped by to tell somebody to come forth. He said, come forth, and this man stepped forth, and Jesus looked at them, and he says, that does the law not permit good deeds on the Sabbath? And then he says, that is it the day for doing evil, or to save a life, or destroy a life? And the Bible says, watch what your haters do. When you ask the right questions, they got quiet. They got quiet. And the Bible tells us that Jesus looked around at them angrily, but then compassion set in. The Bible says that he was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. And that's where restoration begins. Restoration begins with your heart. Can you see this man standing there with the deformed hand? This man standing there with the withered hand. And Jesus has called him to the carpet. Come forth. And all these people are looking at him just like you, whether you're online or whether you're in the sanctuary. All these people are looking at thee with the withered hand. And he's standing there. And Jesus got upset because of the hearts of the Pharisees. And Jesus tells the man to stretch forth. He says, stretch forth. But if this man's heart was still hard, and his hand would not have been restored. We've been praying to God to restore this country. We've been praying to God to heal the land. Oh, you remember the prayers of the people. If my people who are called by my name would pray and humble themselves and seek my face, and then I will heal the land. That has been the prayer of the people this year. And we're asking God to restore my family, restore my relationship, restore my marriage, restore my finances, restore my relationship with you, God. And all the while, your heart is still and that's where restoration begins. That's all I come to tell you today. Praise team, help your boy out. I want to be a little bit more spiritual before we close this thing. Put me in D flat, C sharp. I don't even know what that sounds like. Just push a key. But the Bible tells us. That's the one. That's the one right there. That's the one. The Bible tells us that because this man's heart was not hardened, when God gave him the command, oh, watch this, don't miss it, that when God gives you the command, he'll empower you to do what it is he told you to do. If you want restoration in your home, God is commanding you to take control of your home. And while he's commanding you, he's empowering you. If you want restoration in your relationship, in your finances, God is commanding you to take control of that relationship. Take control of your finances. And while he's commanding you, God is empowering. He's empowering you. Oh, so restoration. And while we're praying, and we've been praying and hoping that Uncle Joe and Kamala will bring this thing on in, I stop by to tell you before I take my seat. Every week, and I hope you get a song in your spirit. Praise Jesus. But before I take my seat, before I take my seat, it ain't a hooping one today, fellas. But before I take my seat, there is somebody that's watching right now online. It may be somebody in here right now. You've been praying to God, God, restore me. Just like David prayed, create in me, God, a clean spirit, God. And renew the right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh, sorry. And renew a right spirit that's within me. It may be somebody watching right now. You've been praying for restoration. That marriage may not have been what you wanted it to be, but you jumped in it. And I said, I'm about to tell you that what the relationship in the marriage is looking like right now, God is telling you to stretch forth. Oh, this country has been in calamity and turmoil all of 2020 when everybody was saying 2020 is perfect vision. And it's just been cloudy. Like cataracts, we can't see straight, God. And all the while we are sitting back doing nothing, and God has been saying, come forth. Come forth. You have to do something that if I tell you to do it, I'm going to empower you through it. It's somebody that is under the sound of my voice right now. You've been praying for restoration. You want God to restore the country.